yo, yo, what's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome back, welcome first-timers, welcome all of you guys. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe show. Guess who's back?
The one and only. Half the membership of Superface. It's James.
Hey, James.
Hey.
Hey, man. It's been a long time, sir. It's been a long time since we had you on this show. I actually don't even know when was the last time you were on this show.
Have I been in the show like at all this year? 2011?
2011?
Yes, you have been on during this year.
Because you were in the 100th episode, which I think counted as...
That was near the beginning of this year, was it?
Yes, I guess that counted.
I don't remember the last time I was on an episode.
Now,
neither did I, man.
Was James on his own episode after the 100th episode?
It's been quite a while. It feels like it's. I know you've been here once, but it's hard to sort of decipher when or exactly
how you represented
here at one time. Maybe you were.
Do you know what we should do?
I'm trying to think.
Since you tag the show, you know, like all the topics that we talk about?
Yeah.
Do you ever tag it with the guests' names in it?
I do tag with the guests.
So somebody could actually click James and see all of James' stuff.
Yeah.
So we'd have to check.
So.
Wait, does it have my last name on there? On the tag?
I'm not sure.
No.
It might. I'm not sure.
Uh-oh. Take it off.
Uh-oh.
You should take it off.
Get that off there.
So, before we get into the business that we usually have at hand, let's hear the news from Carolyn. Because you know what? This is a big week for us. This is also a pretty awesome week for us. We got some stuff happening. Sit back, relax, listen to the news.
This upcoming weekend. Actually, before the weekend. When you listen
this
to
week,
the show.
This week, Thursday, actually.
Starting on Thursday. So we're going to be there for 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We are going to be at New York Comic Con.
That's right.
2011. And we are going to be at table B16 in Artist Alley.
So yeah, definitely the biggest convention on the East Coast. The Carolyn and Joe Show, Curl's Studio. We're going to be at Artist Alley. New York Comic Con. What's the name of the table?
B16 in Artist Alley.
That's right. You can find us next to Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, we're right next to the guy that's art director of Ren and Stimpy. The Ren and Stimpy show, it's going to be awesome.
Wow.
It's pretty rad. I'm looking forward to it.
It's amazing.
And...
Not only that,
on Friday, we have our own panel at New York Comic Con. Friday night, let me find you some details on that. It's from 6:30 to 7:30. And it's called The Other Side of the Table, Lessons from Creators. Now, we're going to be there along with David Gallagher, Riley Brown, Raina Telgemeier. We're going to be there with everybody that's awesome, that's making comics. Totally rad. And you should be there because we're going to be discussing everything that it will take for you to make your own comic. Like we said, The Other Side of the Table, how it's like to be on the other side of the table.
It's pretty crazy, James, because, like, really... We don't really have any other... We're not really part of many panels like in other conventions, but we really wanted to have one in New York Comic Con, and I'm really happy that we're able to have this.
We have our own panel.
That's right.
And it's
huge.
So it's going to be this upcoming
Friday. I think it's great.
October 14th, 2011, from 6:30 to 7:30, and the location is at 1B03. So be sure to join us, and I hope a lot of people are going to come because it's going to be Friday. It's going to be after work. So if you live... in like the New York City area, you can just jet right over right after work. So that's going to be pretty awesome. So more people will hopefully come this year. Because last year we did it early in the morning on Thursday.
But now they put us at a pretty awesome spot.
Now we are on Friday night, man.
Like James, people after work, people can come see our panel, check out. It's always a good time. We're also giving away stuff too.
Yeah, we're giving away, like Raina has volunteered to give away a copy of Smile. Dave Sim actually mailed me a copy of Cerebus Guide to Self-Publishing, which is like a gem of a book if you want to start making your own books. Definitely read his advice, and that's pretty rad. And David Gallagher has donated some copies, or at least one copy of Box 13, and as well as Joe and I are going to be contributing stuff to give away as well, so ask as many questions as you can at the panel to win. And that's not all. On Saturday, we will be joined at the table with Amber Love. If you're not familiar with her, her website is amberunmasked.com.
Definitely check it out. There's a lot of awesome images.
Check it out. Like, she reviews comics. And in addition to that, she's also, like, a very professional cosplay burlesque-ish. Well, I shouldn't say she's burlesque, but she's cosplay. But she's going to be dressed as a burlesque spy on Saturday with us. She's going to be dressed as a, like, gets-inspired look.
So that should be always pretty fun. James, I know you're going to enjoy that, too. One of these days, we gotta get you at a show. Well, you can have a signing.
Just to clarify, she's not a burlesque dancer. She's
a cosplayer.
But she's all down with like very much like the costumed entertainment aspect of things. And she's a model, and she works at a comic book store. It's pretty rad. I gotta say.
You gotta go check her out at her website, the Amber Unmasked.
AmberUnmasked.com.
I'll check it out later.
Yeah.
Check it out.
She's gonna be at her table doing signing. Carolyn did an exclusive.
Exclusive print that we're gonna be selling. An exclusive print. And so she's gonna be there on Saturday from at least like noon to 1 or 2-ish. We haven't really determined that, so we'll figure that out. But just stop by around that time and she will be there and she will sign for you. And
that's right.
We will sign for you as well. And we'll have copies of the Leggets as well. And Joe, tell everybody about the Leggets so they will know like what she's inspired by.
Well, basically the Leggets is one of our... Carolyn and I tried to make the biggest story that we possibly could do and basically have elements of things that we love a whole lot. You know, we took Carolyn's love of burlesque and my love of burlesque as well, and Blade Runner, futuristic, you know, spies, and we combined those together. So that's basically what it was. It's a story about a group of burlesque dancers in the future who are chosen to save the universe. Bam! Sci-fi, action, adventure, mystery.
Who chooses them?
Oh, but that's the story. The story, man.
I gotta read the book to find
out.
Yeah.
You gotta read the book to find out.
All right. You gotta copy.
But also, like, that's what I love about the story itself. It's like, it's that challenge of being a chosen person. It's that challenge of conquering odds, you know, being a better person. But also, you know, what is your destiny in life? You know, it takes place in the future, but also has that humanistic story of, like, what are you destined to do and what do you have to conquer? You know, and I'm always gravitated towards stories like that.
We're also going to have a whole bunch of new stuff. In addition to the Amber Love print, we are going to be having 1-inch buttons, which are pretty rad. Like, I've been making them all day yesterday, and I have to say, like, all of them are, like, lovely. I would love to have all of them and just put them all over my outfits. They're pretty rad. So, and they're going to be $1 each, so stop by. We're going to be at Table B16 all 4 days, so stop by Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or all 4 of those days.
Yeah, so it should be an amazing, amazing time. New York Comic Con. What's that table number again?
B16 and Artist Alley.
That's right.
And also check curls-studio.com to find out all the info. And we have a map up there so you can like really see hardcore where we are and aspect of the whole floor.
Yes.
It will be easy to find. You've got to find us. Curls Studio B16.
And now our guest, and James.
James, welcome.
Welcome back,
again.
Man.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Thanks for listening to our news, sir.
What did you think of our report?
We've been getting more sharper with our news, I believe.
It really sounds like you guys are staying busy, and sounds like you really got your act together with all this stuff.
But see, we're not the only ones that are busy. I heard that you were a hero, a superhero one day.
Oh, you heard about that?
I was hearing that on the grapevine.
But
I
don't know exactly what happened, so you're gonna have to tell us and get our instant reaction. But I did hear like you were doing some saving or something.
Yeah, it's always interesting because we hear stories. It's been a long time, and we're always trying to gather the best stories of what can happen. You know, the stuff that's happened in our past. And then I hear this. I hear this story that you did that this heroic feat.
Tell me about it, because I want to know. I don't even know what this is.
This Herculean, testament that you've done.
Well, I mean, it wasn't really that heroic of a thing. You know?
Now you're downplaying.
But, you'd be all humble.
No,
about
but
it
you know, sometimes I'm on the show whenever, and people might think I sound like you know, real pessimist and whatever. But
a pessimist?
You know,
what do you mean?
Because you know, look at the look at the downside of things and. Kind of take everything in a negative light, but that's mostly joking around, you know. I'm the kind of
that's your gimmick.
More optimistic on the Carolyn and Joe show.
No, I mean I think I'm the kind of guy, you know, I really enjoy helping people out.
Yeah.
Like, anytime I can.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really makes me feel good when I can help somebody out, you know, in a big way.
So set it up. What happened?
Well, I was, you know, as you guys know, I changed jobs.
Yeah.
And in between jobs, this is back in June,
What? Back in June?
Yeah, back in June when I changed jobs. So my last day was June 1st at my old job.
See, that's always a challenge, is trying to get a hold of you because your schedule's always
that's
different.
That's like 4 months ago, dude.
Yeah.
dude.
Yeah, so...
like, I haven't heard this story.
I haven't been on a show since then. So anyway...
You'll have to have James more often.
Yeah, definitely. So, I had about... I think I had like 10 days off or something, maybe 12 days off in between jobs. Before I started the new one. So I told myself, you know, I was going to try to be like as active as possible instead of just laying around being lazy.
Just watching TV or something.
So I decided, instead of just sitting around watching TV or whatever, I was going to, you know, go for a walk or a run or something every morning and do stuff outside and go to the gym every day.
Yeah.
And, rather than feel like a, you know, a slug, you know, try to like, you know, I don't know.
Because it's always so tough because at the same time, I feel like when you're in between jobs and you know there's a job happening, you're like, well, I might as well just, chill out and
relax,
watch some HBO or something like that.
You know, I enjoyed myself, but I wanted to make sure I kept moving the whole time. But anyway, so it was, I think it was like the third or fourth day of my time off.
Yeah.
So I went out for a run in the morning. I think it was, the school buses had just left.
So it's around 7 o'clock or so? 7 to 6?
Like, I passed the school buses picking up the kids during my run.
Yeah.
I think I ran like 3 miles.
You ran past the school bus?
Yeah, as they were picking up the kids. And then, like, I ran down to a stop sign like a mile and a half down the road, and I was running back. On my way back, I'm looking, you know, it's quiet as hell. It's a quiet, well, you've been in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
In my old place.
It's pretty calm,
You know, yeah, wooded area, kind of a narrow two-lane road kind of deal.
Yeah.
And windy. And so I'm running, and, it's a beautiful morning. And I look up ahead maybe a quarter mile, maybe a little less, and I see, like, a big gray object flying through the air.
Like, what? Literally, like airborne?
It was a UFO.
It was a car.
It was an unidentified flying object.
It was a car, airborne, freaking through the air.
What?
And flipping, yeah.
Oh my god!
And
what were the weather conditions?
There's so many questions.
What were the weather conditions during this?
It was clear.
A nice day.
It was a nice day to run.
It was a beautiful June morning, clear blue sky.
What type of car is this? But you're seeing this from a quarter mile away, one lap on the track.
Exactly. So it might have been a little less than that. I'd say an eighth, but I think it was a little more than that. So I don't know. We'll say what's between that.
An eighth.
What's between a quarter and an eighth? Do some math.
A quarter and an eighth.
That's the wrong.
That's 2/16.
You mean like
wrong?
What? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Fractions.
It's 3/16 of a mile. Right?
I think we're being too technical now. When you get out of,
you're like, that's about
ruler.
That's about 3/16 of a mile right there. James, you might be off by just a tad bit on
anyway,
that.
But funny because I heard.
Did you know what type of car it was, or you just saw that it was a vehicle flipping over?
It was almost like I was dreaming.
Yeah,
you know, like I didn't.
Unexpected.
It didn't seem like it was real because you never see anything like that in real life, you know, unless you're
like on a movie set
dreaming,
or an action movie or something like that.
Yeah, or you know, if you're a firefighter or in the military or something, you see things like that.
Yeah,
and you're used to it or whatever.
I don't think that they're necessarily used to it, but they're more accustomed to like reacting to it, I guess.
Yeah, but I'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah,
and so my initial reaction was, you know, holy shit, somebody has to be in that car.
Yeah.
And they went down into a ditch in the woods.
Ooh.
Like it was kind of like there was a side street right there by where he went down, and there were some townhouses back in there, but there were some woods like between the, you know, kind of, so the townhouse little complex is kind of secluded. So anyway, he
so
went
you
down
ran
in
faster.
There. Yeah, so I start hauling ass, and I get up there, and there's freaking cars upside down, like up against one of those giant green boxes.
Cars? Or more than one?
The one car.
Oh, just the one car.
The
okay.
Yeah, it was car is.
Oh, the car is, okay.
And he's upside down. He's kind of leaning up against this green box.
Wait, so the car
thing.
Is flipped, leaning up against the transformer?
Yeah. It's,
more
and
than
it's down in a ditch.
Damn.
You know, like a wooded ditch. And so I run up there, and there's just one guy standing around. And he's up at the top of the hill, like looking down on the car with a cell phone in his hand.
Like, okay, so he's like the first witness.
So he's the witness.
Yeah, so I guess he was the first one on the scene. So,
but you said he wasn't really on the scene, though. He was just like looking at it.
He was
observing.
He was probably 10 feet away. Probably 10 feet away.
Oh.
He was 10 feet away?
Dude, he could have got hit.
Well, no, by the time I got up there, it was like 30 seconds later or something.
Okay, so 20
seconds later. I don't know. I was running as fast as I could. But it was weird because I was already kind of tired. You know, because I've been running for a little while.
Yeah. You ran 3 miles already.
Yeah, I mean, it was already like two. It was probably like 2.5
gotta,
miles.
Gotta
or
know
something.
These details.
2.5
miles.
Oh, now
it's
maybe.
2.5. Okay.
No, the total run is 3 miles.
Oh, I see. I see.
And I had.
You were almost done with
it
your run.
It was like a mile and a half down to a stop sign, a mile and a half back.
Okay.
I did it with. I mapped it out with my car one day.
Okay.
So, So I get up there and I'm looking at this guy like, oh, "What the fuck are you gonna? excuse my language, you gonna help this guy? Well, I didn't ask him though. I just kind of thought about it for a second, then ran down in there.
You're like, come on, man.
I was like, damn, is there anybody in there? And there's,
I mean, was this guy like,
but the
in
other
a
guy
suit?
Was on the cell phone. Was he calling like 911 or something?
No, he didn't. He wasn't talking, and he was like looking at it, like he was flipping through, like
he was
doing
fucking,
a text or something.
He was fucking just like tweeting.
Yeah, he's just like, he's oh, this guy. Just,
holy crap,
shit! I just saw the most craziest
over.
Thing. Facebook me.
Yeah, but what I didn't see was there was another car. This car had some young Spanish guy. He's probably like 18.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the car's flipped over and whatever, smoking like hell.
Shit.
Wheels are still
spinning.
Yeah, that was my first thought. If there's anybody in there,
now,
they got
to
get
now,
out.
Now, like, according to law, are you allowed to get him out or do you have to call 911? Because I seriously have heard of different things like that. For example, like, I heard this somewhere because I had to take, what is that thing called where you blow on people's mouths?
CPR.
Like, yeah, I had to take thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I had to take a CPR class. And then they were talking about how you have to ask permission. Because there's some people that can deny you and say, no, I don't want CPR.
So basically...
And then you can get in trouble for giving them CPR.
So basically, like, you cross the guy that was on the text, who was texting or whatever, on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at him for a split second. I thought, what the hell is this guy doing?
You see basically a car that's upside down, wheels are spinning, smoke is coming out. Basically, almost like a danger zone.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I'm wearing my gray... like wife beater shirt and my black shorts, right?
Okay.
So I'm looking all
so I don't know what you're looking all like what?
Like you're working
what
out?
Is the definition of that?
Like you're no, taking a
job? Well, remember the story I told about, you know, the
looking
girl,
like a police?
The girl came to my door and
you're
she
looking
was
all
scared.
Intimidating
and you're like, man, that's the same arm that McFoley saw.
You're like, check out my guns, man.
Looking like, so anyway, looking
the
like,
guy's like, I just flipped
so I,
over.
Looking
I
like Lance Storm, basically looking like Lance Storm.
Came in and controlled the scene. And I jumped up on top of the green box, and I'm looking down in the window because he had the window open.
Uh-huh.
And it was the passenger side window. But he was like standing, kind of like crouched down.
With a guy inside?
Yeah, the kid inside the car.
Did the airbags deflate?
I asked him if there's anybody else in there because I couldn't really see. No.
Now, how,
oh
now,
my God.
No. Now, when you...
No, I didn't notice, but I didn't see, you know, I would have seen it.
Now, when you ran down there, like mentally, in your mental state... Like, when you yelled at him, what was sort of your tone? Were you calm, or were you just, like, almost in a frantic state of just like, dude, what? Dude, are you hurt?
It was more like a,
it's just like, dude, are you okay?
No, I was, you know, loud and authoritative. And,
or more like a...
Really?
But
hey,
I wasn't freaking,
you're right.
I wasn't freaking out, you know?
It was so more anyway, like you were trying to figure out facts before you moved in.
Well, I mean, I wanted to get the guy out, so yeah, I was saying, you know, is anybody else in there? Let's go. But he was like in shock, and he didn't want to get out of the car. He was like, "Oh my God, my car!" Fucking us. So the first thing I did was I made him take the keys out, and he did that. And then I think he dropped him in there, and then he wouldn't get up. And I finally got him to stand up, and I just lifted him out of the car, like through the window.
Uh-huh.
And the car was about the same height as the green box thing. So I reached down in there and just pulled his ass out. But you know, I don't know if you know, but I have a really bad back. I got back issues, my lower back.
So you were already fighting.
But I mean, that comes back every once in a while. I'll do something to tweak it. But like it really messed my back up later in the day. But I had like, you know, all the adrenaline going, like,
yeah.
I wanted to save the day.
Strength
so
of 10 men.
I just picked the guy up and pulled him out. And
was he big? Was he a heavy guy or was he?
No, he's probably like 160 pounds or something.
Okay.
150, I don't know.
But that's cool. You ran in there and you basically, like, you took that authoritative nature and you took the, like, I guess you took the straightforwardness and saved the day.
Yeah, I mean, because I thought the car was going to blow up. That's what, you know.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It could have blown up.
It was smoking.
Who knows? If you kept the engine going, something could have happened, you know?
I mean, if you see smoke, that's scary.
So basically, you lifted him out after that. What's his feelings? What's going on around the scene?
By that point, a bunch of other, like, nosy neighbors, you know, came out and everybody's looking on, like, standing where that other guy was standing.
Yeah.
Nobody freaking come down
of course.
Where I was.
Of course.
See, I wonder what's the thought process of that. They're like, oh, he's got it. It's like, you know what I mean? That's pretty much what it probably was.
Yeah. Well,
he's like, oh, James, but
that guy
wife beater dude got
like,
it. You
just saved him.
Yeah. But I he was all worried about, like, getting his wallet out and stuff. And he just sits down on the box and is like trying to look back inside the car. So I kind of pushed him off the box.
What?
And then, yeah.
You just like shoved him. Like, come on, man, get the fuck out of here.
I just kind of, you know, nudged him and
you don't want it to like blow up
off
in front of him.
Yes, and then everybody was back out on the curb, and then the garbage men happened. I guess they arrived right after I did. These two African garbage men, and they actually called the
South African.
No, African.
Probably like were they African Americans? They're probably or just African.
No, they were like
straight
African,
up African.
They're African, like native Africans.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, probably from like Ghana or something, Kenya or one of those things.
And they just rolled up at the same time? Did they help out?
I think they came, they probably got there right after I did. Yeah, they helped the other car because there was another car involved. I don't know if they hit head on or what happened.
Did the other car flip over?
Because it was at a curve where it happened, and he was coming, this kid was coming, I guess, in my direction. No, they were just, it was all bashed up. I had these like two Spanish ladies and a little kid in the car, but none of them were hurt. But this kid had blood all over me, blood in his head. Jeez. All over his arm.
Well, he's like you said, the airbag didn't deflate, so he's like hitting that thing head on.
Hitting something. I don't know, but anyway,
sounds
I guess
like,
he was all right.
You know, you don't have much protection though.
But he didn't want anybody to call the ambulance. He's probably illegal or something.
Probably.
But
I mean, if he was all worried about like his wallet and certain things, I mean, it makes you wonder about you know, but, his status, I guess.
But so that always brings up the fact of just like you know. What would someone do? You know, you see how many people would go into like a possible, you know, dangerous situation like that. Do you think your military training had anything to do with just playing right into that? Like, I need to do something.
Yeah, maybe.
I'd say so.
I think it was just maybe the way I was raised. I don't know.
Was there ever a situation in your military or anything else like that before where you actually had to go in and save? You know, like anything, even like in Boy Scouts or. When you're a Marine, when you're serving, was there another saving the day type situation?
Not really like that. And you know what's messed up? Is I told that story a number of times to a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
You know, both online, in person, over the phone.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe how many people would just try to rain on my parade.
Everyone will rain on your parade, man.
Like, they're saying like, oh, something like, oh, yeah, yeah, I saved a cat last week.
Yeah, you're like, you did that too?
No, not like that. More like, well, watch, he's going to see you now.
What?
He's going to see you?
Yeah, like, that's all they'll say.
Oh.
Well, he's going to see you now.
Well, I mean, that's why I was questioning, like, if you are allowed to do that. I mean, that was a thought that occurred to me, like, you know, like how I use that CPR reference.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the... Like, I actually... I'm bringing up the fact that I don't know the law. Like,
well, if somebody...
Like, on one hand, it's like... Well, it seems like the obvious thing to do is, like, get him out of the car, get him safe, you know? But then at the same time, like, I have heard of people that, like, for example, they... Maybe... I'm just naming a body part. Like, say, for example, their spine got effed up in the crash. And then if you take them out, then, like, somebody could say, oh, well, you took me out of the car the wrong way or something, and then they come back later, and then, I'm not trying to rain on your parade,
that protect, you know, people that are trying to help, you know, legitimately help
people. Yeah, there probably is, but...
Like, if there's a degree of negligence there, like, if you it's safe to assume that the person might have a spine injury, and then you're just ripping them out of a car and throwing them to the side, yeah, maybe... You know, I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
sure,
I don't, like, that's a good question to pose, I guess. It's just, like, if you see something happening, what's the better thing to do? If you have the advantage of actually going and saving that person straight up, or, like, is it better to call 911? Like, I don't know. I'm basically just posing that question. Maybe that's why the other people were just standing around, because they didn't know how to react. Like, they don't know how to be a hero.
Well, that's what I was telling everybody. You know, people seem to have a problem with heroes nowadays.
They have a problem with heroes.
For sure they do.
I think really, you hit the nail right on the target, man. Like, a lot of people try to rein other people's parade. I always feel that. Specifically, if you're, like, on any social networking now, it's always just this one-upmanship. No one can just...
Yeah, nobody can give anybody else props.
No one. No one can be honest like that these days.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, happy birthday. It's like, oh yeah. It's like,
weren't we talking about the definition of props? That was the last time you were here, I believe.
Oh yeah,
props.
We were talking about props. Yeah.
That feels like a long ass time.
Actually, now that you bring that up, I want to say, 2 days later after we recorded that, we were talking about that at work, and one of my coworkers was like, "What the hell is props?" She's like, "I've never heard that term." And then, like, I was like, oh my god, we just talked about that on the radio show. And then, like, we were looking it up on Urban Dictionary, and it meant something like, what was it?
You have to give
somebody their own propers or something.
Yeah, like proper respect.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what it was, proper respect. And it was the short term for props.
But yeah, no one wants to give anyone proper... Anyone would legitimately give anyone proper respect. Props, as they say on the streets. But it's just
everybody's after themselves, like, to make themselves look good.
But also, like, no one is willing to, not many people are willing to rise up as a team. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, an honest pat on the back. It's always like, even if it's your birthday, someone will try to be like, say a remark about your name. Or say if you did, like, win a contest, someone will try to, like, shit all over that in some way or form.
Yeah.
Just looking at any, like, internet message board or anyone, just looking at your wall on Facebook, man, it's just such a depressing thing. You know, you can't, there's no one, 80 to 95% of people just don't really feel, like, honest. And it's weird that I feel like that's what the social network to me is revealed. It's just like, look at these people who aren't, you know, they're not. You know, they want to put a front. I feel it's a front because that's the way they do it. Either that or people just don't know how to write.
Yeah, well, probably.
That's life, though.
Everything, yeah.
Well, also, another thing is, I guess, with your story is that if you're putting it on, like, you know, Facebook or something, and, you know, maybe people don't know how to decipher it properly if they don't know how the full story is told. Like, whereas, like, right now, we just spent, like, 20 minutes, like, going through every detail. You know, I don't know how you wrote it online, so maybe somebody doesn't know how to read, like you said.
I had like a paragraph, and like 12 people commented on it.
I mean, that's a lot of comments.
And I think the only person that said like "good job" was, I think it was like my mom.
So what did the other people write? Well, what did the other people write?
I think the first person to comment was like, "Watch, now he's gonna
sue you.
He's gonna sue you, and you're gonna something. You're gonna be whatever." And then. Somebody else was like, yeah, you got to be careful because blah, blah, blah. And then I believe somebody else who's actually kind of a friend of mine, but who works in like the medical field said something like, yeah, well, honestly, you shouldn't do that because
you're not a professional.
If you don't handle
their neck.
If you don't handle the spine correctly, you know, that makes sense. But. You know,
but when you're living in the moment,
yeah, that's how I responded. I said, "Well, you know, damn it, I was just, you know, I was there. I saw a fellow citizen in trouble, so I, you know, decided to save the day."
And I feel like that's really what's happening. A lot of people are not living in the moment; they are living in the technicality of a textbook, what is the proper procedure in this of one exact moment?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's sort of like it's like just go
with your heart. That's what I do.
It's like you. It's like this is why certain people
But you know what, though? This is why
people can't play the blues, man. Because, like, they see the chords, you know what I mean? They see the notes.
They're not feeling
it. But they're not freaking feeling the moment.
They're not living it.
And this is when you're feeling the moment. You're like, this dude looks hurt. Some shit will happen. This shit might blow up. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go check. What are the proper procedures here? What? He could be dead. You know?
It was weird because, you know, it's a feeling that you don't get, like, ever.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, holy crap.
How many people would get that situation?
His car could explode.
Yeah.
You know?
That pretty much is a life or death situation for somebody. You know what I mean?
So what happened like after the situation, like the aftermath? Because you said he didn't want to, you know, go to the hospital. So
yeah, he came out
his car and stuff.
You know, a bunch of the little neighbors came over and were talking to him, and some lady who claims that she used to be a police officer or something came over and
claims.
Yeah, she's like, I know all about this because I went to the police academy or something like that. But I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was like, all right, he's all yours. So I kind of put him off on the neighbors, and then, I just disappeared. I went off
You went on to the next
Batman or Superman.
Really, why
disappeared
should I stay
around? Disappeared into the darkness?
I did my part.
The trash man, they called 911, and they had the fire trucks come. They came over. Like, after I had brought the guy, like, had the guy, he was sitting on the curb and stuff.
Yeah.
They, one of the trash men came over, and he's like, all right, well, I mean, the EMS and whoever is on their way, but there's nothing else we can do. See you later. So they took off. I was like, you know, that's when I said, yeah, you know what? I'm out of here, too.
It's good that the firemen, though, did, like, assist kind of in their own way. Or, sorry, not the firemen. The trashmen.
Yeah.
See, they, like, assisted it's like in their own way, though.
It's like everybody, you know, joined together.
They took initiative.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. But, yeah, so, but anyway, yeah, I went home, and I took a shower, and then I kind of laid down on my bed, and I was going to started typing it up on Facebook, you know, because I was all pumped.
Yeah.
And then
the world must know.
And then my back just started freaking freezing up on me, and it hurt like hell, man. It was...
Maybe it was just like that one push that was like... Psh! Got him out of the car.
And it was a good thing that I had a couple of weeks off from work because I was like in bed for a couple, you know, a day or two, I think.
Well, think about it this way, though. It's like, let's say you were in your own accident and some pedestrian came and, you know, saved you. They could have, you know, if they waited around and was like, oh, 911, I'm sitting here with my Starbucks, you know, like, or whatever, and, like, sitting on the street corner walking your dog. If they didn't, like, you know, take initiative, like, you could have, like, let's say you could have died or gotten worse, you know, whatever you had, you know, like, would you rather have somebody straight up save you or, you know, have time pass by? Like, for example, a stroke. Let's say if we had a stroke, one of us or anybody we know, it's almost like, from what I've heard, the more time that goes by, the more worse you get. Like, you can become, like, paralyzed on half the side of your body or worse. And, you know, if you wait too long, it, like, gets... Or it messes up your brain. I don't know the full, like,
doctor...
You
gotta get help right away.
You basically, like, the more time you save, like, the more, like... More of your body you retain, the more of your brain you retain, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like... What if somebody was just standing around being like, do-de-do? I mean, honestly, though, if I didn't, to be a hero, if somebody was having a stroke, I wouldn't know what to do besides call 911. So I don't know how you handle that. But, I mean, I guess as long as somebody calls 911 really quick, you're good.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, I wouldn't know how to react sometimes in some of these situations, too, because... I mean, like you said, it's kind of like you were shocked to even see the car flip over.
Yeah.
But I think,
I mean,
like...
it was, like, surreal, man.
I think your training, you know, in previous situations, like, that was your instinct. Like, based on who you are, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in that aspect, I do think you saved the day.
James, you know? I think you did save the day, man.
Yeah, you know.
I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm gonna say that, you know, you are a good person, and that's what a good person does. You know, you want to go out there and you want to save... Not only that, but you wanted to help. You know what I mean? You didn't just stand there on a hill texting or tweeting what's going on to the world. You did that afterwards.
I waited
until I got home and got on Facebook.
Yeah. See, that's what I have, like, nightmares about sometimes. Like, let's say if something, like, really bad happened, everyone's just going to be, like, tweeting about it, and no one's going to actually be solving the problem.
That's what
doing,
I did.
You know, like,
during the earthquake.
The earthquake
immediately
is going on, you're like,
that.
Oh, is it an earthquake?
I was like, oh, shit, that's an earthquake happening.
and as it's happening. Yeah, but it's almost like you got to take care of, you know, obviously yourself, and then take care of the people you're around, you know.
I'm not going to lie, James. I tried to text that shit before the earthquake ended. I was like, I want to be the first one.
I was in my room. I had Facebook pulled up. Like, I just finished, like, looking at something on Facebook when the hurricane happened. And I was walking across
earthquake.
My room, and it started... Huh?
Earthquake.
What did I say?
Hurricane.
Yeah.
Or you could call it hurricane, because there was a hurricane going
earthquake,
on at the same time as the earthquake.
Yeah, that was a crazy week.
Just call it a hurricane.
But yeah,
that
was the first thing I did, was start going back over to my computer wall and, like, shaking, trying to walk over there.
You're like, I gotta be the first.
But
to be the one that says first. First, tweet the earthquake.
It's funny because I knew, like, I instinctively knew that people were going to be on there. Like, right when I felt the earthquake, right when I realized it was an earthquake, I knew that people were going to be on there, you know, talking about it. So, do you remember you liked my status? All
what
I did was
it?
I just wrote general comment regarding earthquake. Oh my god, it's an earthquake! Freaking losers!
Oh my god!
I hate people.
I just, like, really am saying, like, I mean, the earthquake. Looking back on it, there wasn't that much damage. I guess, well, National Cathedral and a few other places, like the National Washington Monument.
But it was something
but
to,
like,
do.
It was something to do.
Something to do.
It wasn't just something to do. It was something that happened to us based on Mother Nature. But, like, I'm just saying that it didn't affect the people around me or my house or anybody that I know that much. It wasn't, like, a life-altering experience, you know? Especially compared to, like, the tsunami in Japan. It's kind of like, it's kind of like we can't really complain about that. But then I do think it's hilarious that everyone's just like texting and Twittering or whatever, tweeting. And it's like, it's almost to the point where it's like, dude, if there is like a national emergency, I don't even know. I don't think people can survive.
Yeah,
I really don't.
The phone lines are going to be tied up.
Yeah, that. And then like I don't know. I don't know about, I mean, I don't have, James, did you listen to our episode about the hurricane?
No. Wait, did I?
No. I don't know, man. You tell me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I listen to them every now and then. I don't know.
Because we did a whole episode about like our reactions to it.
One day, if you're taking a long car ride, just download like six of them.
I still have the automatic download in iTunes.
Oh yeah. Ooh yeah.
I'll have to resync it.
I always forget that because there's so many subscribers on there. I always forget that thing is just keeps on popping them out.
And also, we should remind people that they can also like rate us. I guess they have a star system.
Yeah, let's get us up there.
And if we get more ratings, then I guess. I don't know. I guess what happens is I don't know what happens because we don't really promote the show as well as we should. But like, apparently, if you give us a 5-star rating or write a good review and stuff, we go higher on the charts.
James, can you do that for us?
Sure.
Give us a review. Give us a 5-star review,
I'll
man.
I'll do it.
I don't know how that all works out, but we should promote the radio show more.
I try to do that as much as I possibly can. Well, I always find this radio show just to be sort of like. It's the dessert for all the work that we do.
Yeah.
When people are like, I want to find out more. Oh shit, they got a weekly podcast where they just shoot all
we
day
have,
long.
We have like shoot interviews all day
they
long.
Shoot all interviews all day long, man. Yes.
I like when we start doing like promotions for our comic stuff that's in video, it basically starts to sound like a wrestling promo now.
It really pretty much does, man. Did you ever see that image I had on my on my Facebook is a profile picture of that pen that with blood in it.
I don't know.
This is a good story
probably.
For James.
If you probably seen that, that was the last time I've ever had a, or that was the most re- that was the most recent moment I've had a run in the cop with the cops. It was hardcore run in with the cops. I got that pen. Basically, it's a pen that looks like a syringe. A pen that looks like a syringe with red ink. So it looks like a syringe, but it's a pen.
Yeah.
It's definitely just a pen.
It's definitely just a pen.
And also,
it might even be here. I'm not sure.
I packed it, but it's too hard to find, but it is in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Basically, imagine syringe, but it's a pen. I had this image
from,
on.
Like, Saw.
Yeah,
it was
I got
a promotional
it, I actually got
thing from Comic-Con.
To tie it in with this year's New York Comic-Con, I got it from last year's New York Comic-Con. It was a promotion for the movie Saw. Now, take that into consideration. It looks damn good, man. It really looks like a real syringe.
It looks awesome.
I kid you not. So, all of a sudden, I go to work in Baltimore. In the morning time, I find it in my car. I'm like, oh, crap, this is pretty good. I completely forgot about this. Put it on my dashboard.
Good place to
go,
put it, too.
Go to work, come back, driving. Stuck all fucking day in traffic, too. All fucking day till it's like nighttime. It's like 7 o'clock, driving through Vienna. You know, and I'm not going to say this like I'm a bad driver or like I speed a lot or anything like that, but suddenly there's flashing headlights behind me, right?
Right.
And I'm all like, what in the world? I'm like, oh crap, what did I do? It could be anything.
But you didn't do anything wrong, though.
But in my head, it could be anything. Like, I'm like, it could be any, literally, it could be like, oh shit, I didn't have my lights on. Because all of a sudden, sometimes, I don't know. I have my lights on automatic, so, like, who knows? If there's enough light, my lights won't turn. You know, any possible thing.
Could be anything.
I pull them out. No, I mean, I pull over in front of it's in a parking lot of, like, of an automotive, like, I don't know, Jiffy Lube or something like that. So, yeah. It's like you have this whole entire space. It's just me and the cop, right?
Good times.
There's a cop. This girl is popping me up. So, basically, you know, I'm sitting there. And I rolled down my window, and cop's just like, excuse me, sir, license registration, please, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, I was possibly speeding. And then he's like, can you step out of the car, please? I'm like, what? For what? And then I step out and take this in consideration. Like, yeah. this is the whole time while I'm looking. The whole time while I'm there, I'm like, this is like, you know, there's my car and then a cop car with the lights still going on, me stepping out, having to put my hands behind my head, you know what I mean, while he searches. And I'm just envisioning, like, people are going to drive by and think, like, oh, shit.
Did he ask you to search the vehicle?
Huh? I'll get to that. Okay. I'll get to that. All right. So I'm out there, and he's like, all right, spread your legs or put your hand. I'm going to search it real quick. I'm like, what's going on? And then he starts giving me sort of an attitude, and he's like,
yeah, I bet.
Tell me what you're doing with the syringe in your car. And I'm all like, and like in that moment, it sort of completely snapped. Like, what's the syringe doing on your, it's like, please tell me why do you have a syringe on your dashboard? And I'm like, syringe? No, dude, that's not it. And I run back to the car. And he's like, hold on, stop. And I'm all like, whoa. Man. And I put my hands up, and I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, I can prove that's not. He's like, just stand here right now. And then, like, he goes and calls for, like, backup. There's two other cars roll up while the dude is, like, while the dude now, like, has my hands in the cuff position. Like, behind my back, but, like, not with cuffs.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, you're going to have to chill out here when we get back up. And I'm all like, dude, I can totally, this is, like, you have, like, now I'm just like, it's a mistake, dude. It's a mistake.
You want to prove that it's just a pen.
But, like, I
you're
was
like,
just,
it's just
but,
a pen.
But, like, in my head, it's like, this is such a ridiculous, I'm like, I had to, like, but I bet, like, running was, like, the wrong idea. But so, like, yeah, yeah, so, probably, so the
yeah,
other.
Definitely would be good.
Yeah, yeah. But same, like, so, like, the other, then the other cops come in there. It's like, all right, put your hands. Lay your hands like on the hood of our of the vehicle, and I'm just like, are we, do we really do? I swear this is not. And they're like, come on, sir. And they're like, they ask you all the questions. So what do you do? What's up to you? What are you? Blah 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 blah. And like, we're gonna search your vehicle for a second. And they're just trying to have small talk. You know, I'm trying to be all friendly. They don't want any of the small talk, man. I'm just like, God damn.
Of course not. Like, if they find out, like, you're hardcore, like, drugs.
Yeah, but see, that's the idea in my head. They have their probable cause, and I know the truth. But not only that, but also I have, like, a car that's full of questionable gear. I don't know what they know is
in
there.
Not questionable gear, but
there's a lot of stuff.
Gear.
There's a lot of stuff to look at.
We shouldn't say questionable.
Not questionable, but there's a lot of stuff to look at.
You have a
you
car
know what I mean?
Full of film
I have, like,
gear.
There's knives in there. There's, like, there's possible weapons and stuff like there. So, like, of course, so I'm, like, my hands there. So now the next step is, like, okay, so one visual of me, I have my hands over my head looking like I'm being arrested. Now the next one is I'm surrounded by cops with my hands pressed on the hood. Not, you're like, don't leap, don't move, blah, 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 blah. You know, like that. You know, and then, of course, as soon as the guy comes out there, now all of a sudden he's all friendly and stuff like that. You know, it's like, and then he brings it out. He's like, oh, we found this, and I hope you understand why we found this, all this. You know, I hope you understand, you know, it looked like a really good syringe. And I was like, yeah, man, I got that from New York Comic Con last year from the Saw.
He told him.
I told him that. I told him my whole entire schedule of that day. Yeah. I was like, all right, I just came back from Baltimore. I work this. I work in film production. You know what I mean? With my hands up. I'm like, I told him, you know, like, I have nothing to hide. I got nothing to hide.
You have nothing to hide.
I was like,
straight out of that,
I was like, I know, you know, when I was telling my story, I was like, I know what you're thinking. You think you saw like a real syringe, but it's actually just a Saw promotion that I had. It was stuck in my car. I found it. I spoke really fast and precise, just like that. It's like, I left at 6 o'clock. I've been in traffic for 3 hours. Now I'm coming back. Now I get pulled over in Vienna. I don't know what I'm doing right here. But then he's like, okay, we're going to search out your car. You know, you go sit back. We'll give your stuff back. And then, of course, the perfect way my day ends, I realize I haven't paid my registration yet. And they're like, well, and I was like, at that time, I'm like, crap. So now, like, I have a registration that's out of date. And I'm like, I swore I paid it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's like, well, this is out of date. You know, you could get, I don't know what, suspended or something like that. But
but
just because, not just because, but like, well,
since we put you for so much trouble.
If just pay this, we'll just give you a warning. And I was like, all right, thanks. That's all I care about, man.
Did you pay it?
Yeah, I paid it.
Oh, all right.
I swore I paid that.
You were just paying for your, what is it? I forget.
Well, you just didn't have the updated
It just wasn't updated.
But you weren't paying, like, as a fine.
What do you mean as a fine?
Like, they didn't fine you.
No, yeah, it was. I think the situation is sort of just like, I mean, it's a fucking pen.
They were doing like a background check to make sure you.
That was my question.
Clean.
Was how the hell did they see that?
Yeah, I don't even know how they see it.
I swear to you, it wasn't even on my dashboard. It wasn't even where my CDs are. It was like basically, I guess I guess, you know, if I was shooting up in the car live, it would be where it was. You know, it like in my when I envision this, I envision like Pulp Fiction when John Travolta's character is like shooting heroin like in the car while he's driving. It's like the slow motion. That's how I envision they're thinking I am. And it's just it's a fanboy pen that I got for free. And then
the funny thing is like I think I planted it just recently because I was like, Joe, I found your other pen and I just left it in your car. Because we love those pens because they're like pretty awesome.
They look like blood.
You look at them and they really do look like
a syringe but it's a pen.
Filled with blood. But it's just an innocent pen. But then like the funny
and
thing
so
is...
And so I posted that. I was like, this is the reason why I got pulled over
cops. That's the messed up thing is that like, you know...
It's amazing. Security, it's though. They saw it. How did they
I
see that?
I feel like actually very secure that they saw that. I'm what? Like, actually, that's awesome that they saw that.
Yeah, but now when I drive through Vienna, I'm just like, crap.
You're like, oh, shit, anything.
Were they county police or town of Vienna police?
Not quite sure. It went by really fast, but it might be town of Vienna.
Dang.
That's probably why they don't have anything else.
They got nothing else to do. They got pulled over somebody.
Like, oh shit, we got some major drug dealer.
Should I ask them what the deal is with my application?
Yeah. Listen, you guys know. And they're like, keep quiet, sir. Keep quiet. Yeah, but that was just interesting because it's like you never, you know, you end your day. You know,
I mean, that is an abnormal day.
And I'm like, you know, like I'm always like, I'm always like, crap, I want to make it home to watch Raw. You know, and stuff like that.
How long was the whole procedure since they pulled you over and let you go?
That was like a 20 to 35 minute procedure there. Wow.
I like my favorite part of that story is that they called for backup.
But that's what see like whenever I'm driving around.
Because I can imagine
you're acting suspicious, man.
I can imagine
started running towards the car.
Because it's so absurd.
No, but
I knew what it was.
Come on, man. I can imagine you doing that though because like it's kind of like you're like okay you're trying to figure out why they pulled you over.
And like,
you know
why
you're
do
like,
you have a syringe?
You're like what the heck? And then as soon as they said the word syringe, you're probably like oh man I know exactly where that is. I'll show you it's in the car.
It's like it's not a syringe. Stay here. Stay. You know, but like
I can
always,
imagine you doing that.
But
though.
See, like the, but I always see James. I always, you know, when you're driving down the street and then you see someone with that same situation being pulled over by the cops.
You're like, oh man,
and being
that's a
like,
major drug
and being like tagged. I'm like, shit, now I'm one of those guys.
Owned.
Yeah, that's, I'm like crap.
All those people like remember your face.
Yeah, I'm like, look at what happened to Joe. Look at him now. He used to have this awesome podcast. Now he's stuck in jail.
I saw him getting pulled over. I do
those
sometimes,
times,
like,
man.
If I don't have anyone, like, in front of me when I'm driving the car and I see somebody getting pulled over by the cop, I always try to check. Like, I don't waste that much time, but I always turn my head a little bit just to see who's getting pulled over. You know, I do some racial profile.
So, yes.
Oh, it's gotta be a black
I'm
guy.
Like, I
it's
wonder who they pulled over this time.
That wasn't the first, like, even, like, in Richmond.
Look at those rims.
Dude, even, like, in Richmond, man, when I was walking home one time from, I forget what was the name of it, like, Harrison Street. Cafe,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm walking in a car, cop car literally like stops right in front of me and goes like, excuse me sir, slow down or stop here. And I'm like, I'm turning around, I'm like, what the hell is going on? They're like, you fit the profile of a person that was causing a disturbance.
Really?
And I'm like, are you, or not that, like that you're drunk and you're doing this and that. And I turn around like, I'm not drunk, I'm straight edge and I'm not doing anything, I just walked out here. And then she goes like, oh sorry, from the look of your disposition you're the wrong guy. And I'm like, what the fuck?
So basically, any drug dealer should just say that they're like, "I'm straight edge. You know, nothing to see here."
Well, they said disposition, so apparently I wasn't the.
You weren't stumbling around.
Yeah, like I wasn't stumbling around. I was just like, I turned around, like, "What the fuck?"
Well, it's kind of like how I was saying about like,
what the
like,
fuck?
Well, the story about Bob Dylan a year
What's
ago.
Up, man?
He was just like walking. Apparently, Bob Dylan took a tour stop.
Did he die?
No.
No, he's still alive.
I thought he died.
He's
no.
one of Joe's heroes.
He died.
Bob Dylan did not die.
He's still alive.
It was his birthday.
Did you say who
was
died?
Right?
Yeah, it was Bob Dylan's birthday.
A while ago, but I guess like a year ago. I guess like a year ago. He was like, I think in New Jersey at like some tour. You know, he had some time off on the tour. Like not that long, but maybe he might have had like a couple hours before his show or something. And then he went out to like just take a walk in the neighborhood. He's literally just strolling around. And like these cops pulled him over. And apparently he was in a black neighborhood. And, like, all the black people were calling on the phone being like, there's a guy that's walking around our neighborhood. And, like, the cops pulled over and, like, talked to him. And they were like, excuse me, what's going on? And, like, he was like, I'm just taking a walk or whatever. And I guess he looked all, like, weird or threatening or something. Like, the modern day Bob Dylan does.
I always said that he looked like the freaking devil, man. Like,
yeah,
Bob
man,
Dylan
I guess
walks
he,
around
I guess
looking
he
like the
literally,
devil now.
But I think it's funny that he was in a full-on black neighborhood and that they called
the cops on Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
That's like, hey, that guy looks
and the funny
Satan
thing,
over there.
They're like, that guy looks like a Satan, man.
Because that's how they talk.
You better be coming. Save us. You know? But anyway, and apparently the cops were like only 24 years old. And, like, they didn't know who Bob Dylan was, which I think is another interesting layer of that story. And then he just hung out in the police department and then until, like, I guess one of his tour people picked him up. I mean, he didn't get in trouble or anything, but it's kind of just odd that you just imagine a whole bunch of black people looking out their window or something being like, that guy's weird, I'm calling the cops. You know, like...
Yeah, I'd be pretty insulted.
Yeah, and also yeah, you're you Bob Dylan. It's also Bob Dylan, you know? I mean, he does kind of look like the devil.
That's what I like about his
talks
modern.
Like
that's
too.
What I like about Bob Dylan's modern day look. He looks like the devil.
He talks like one.
He
talks like gravel.
He's like, hey man. So we're gonna play this little ditty here, diddly. James, you never even watched that Lost that lent you.
Yeah.
And you never will.
I will.
Do you still have it?
No, give it back.
See, yeah, I gave it to Brian. I knew Brian was gonna watch. Well, Brian actually asked
Has
for
Brian
it.
Confirmed that he watched it?
Yeah. He hasn't watched the whole thing. I don't know. I haven't seen him in 3 weeks.
Where's we'll have Brian? To ask him.
Brian's in Richmond. Brian's actually going to be signing at New York Comic Con, too.
Nice.
Signing?
With you guys?
He's coming up with us. Nice. But he's going to be our media assistant. I want to do an announcement.
Brian Sarvis will be signing at the table with
What's he
going
to sign?
I don't know.
A piece of paper?
We'll have Madcap out there.
you could do that.
You can sign that.
How many more? You don't have any more copies of Madcap, though, right?
I don't do which sell our last two copies.
No, keep them for yourself. You need to own a copy of your own movie.
I want to have James. That'd be cool. I want to see James at an autograph signing one day.
What am I going to sign?
I don't know. I mean, you can sign anything. Superface albums.
Superface albums, yes.
Somebody unliked Superface.
What?
Yeah,
How
one
dare
person.
They?
We have one less like now.
Well, that's probably because there's not updates.
Are you
really, do more updates.
Are you keeping track of the numbers? I never do.
Well, when it's that low, it's easy to keep track.
Yeah.
It's because we haven't promoted it enough yet. I promote Mr. Bandit more.
Run it right now.
All right, guys. You guys need to
when
go
is
and
Superface
search.
Going to have their own music?
Maybe today.
Yeah.
Maybe
okay.
today.
Maybe.
Okay, okay. Maybe.
Soon.
All right. Search for Superface on Facebook and like them.
And also, don't forget, go to New York Comic Con this Thursday. This week, this Thursday, was it October 13th?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Sunday. Check us out.
At table B16, right?
Yes, Friday, and also Friday night, 6:30.
Friday night, 6:30, the other side of the table, Lessons from Creators. That's our panel at New York Comic Con. It's going to rock.
And also, just to reveal, we're also going to be at the Virginia Comic Con at the end of October, the weekend.
The weekend before
Devil's
Halloween.
Weekend is what it's going to be. Thanks for joining us, James.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Carolyn.
I gave you blood.
It's been a good time. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Catch you later, Carolyn.
Go to curls-studio.com.
And astrayproductions.com.
Good night, everybody.
Have a nice day. Oh, yeah. Be positive. I'm the cat.